This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Health and Science on the Ballot. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. A lot of people are concerned about voter fraud. It's something we've heard a lot about since the 2020 elections. But it's not a new issue. In 2000, there was a problem with punch card ballots, the hanging chads, and Florida recounts. In 2004, researchers claimed Ohio polling stations and voting machines had been messed with. In 2016, some Democrats claimed Russian influence campaigns tipped the scales for Donald Trump. So, will our votes be counted and counted correctly? How safe is the system that is the bedrock of democracy? Grant Hill has more.
About 20 years ago, when J. Alex Halderman was a computer science grad student at Princeton, he received the strangest homework assignment of his life. He was part of a research group working on security issues and public policy when his team got a tip from an anonymous source.
My instructions were to drive up from New Jersey to New York. I double parked my car outside a hotel near Times Square and went back into the alleyway behind the hotel where a man in a trench coat handed me a black leather suitcase.
Inside that suitcase was something that could become a treasure trove for researchers, a voting machine.
I mean, it's like something out of a spy movie.
And by the way, Alex still won't reveal any details about the man in the trench coat. Electronic voting machines have been widely used in U.S. elections since the 1980s. But up until that handoff, very little independent academic research had been done on their vulnerabilities to manipulation or hackers. Now, Alex's research group could get to work.
That became the first hands-on security review of a U.S. voting machine in the computer science literature.
Today, Alex is a professor of computer science at the University of Michigan and a sought-out expert on cybersecurity issues around voting systems, one of very few in the world.
I could probably count on my fingers the number of people in academia who are serious researchers about election cybersecurity.
And that's a problem, because to fight disinformation about voter fraud, Alex says government agencies have resorted to their own kind of disinformation, making claims that these machines used in recent elections are well fortified, and that our elections in general are broadly secure.
This coalition says this election was the most secure in American history.
Quote, the most secure in history.
To an expert, that's meaningless at best and it's stretching the truth at worst. And I think it really risks jeopardizing the public's trust in government officials who make sweeping claims like that as well.
The truth is that the simple process of voting and counting up votes nationwide remains extremely complicated, unique to each state or even counties, and largely invisible to the average voter. And without more people like Alex who have the technical skills to dig into these processes, Alex says we just don't know what we don't know. Take Georgia, for example. In 2021, a group of unauthorized security experts got their hands on voting software used in elections in Coffee County, Georgia. They copied hard drives and software, essentially in an effort to show that the system could be manipulated. In response, Alex later conducted a forensic review of the county's entire election process.
In Georgia, when you go to vote, you mark your ballot using a touchscreen computer called a ballot marking device. And that's the first step where there is unobservable software running. What you pick on screen gets printed on a piece of paper, but also on that piece of paper, there's going to be a QR code, a kind of two-dimensional barcode that is supposed to encode your choices. But you, as a voter, have no way to individually verify that.
From there, the voter puts their paper into a ballot scanner, which counts the vote.
But in Georgia, it's only counting what's in the QR code. It's ignoring all of the pieces of the ballot you can see, so that QR code had better be right. Now, internally, the scanner is, well, it's a computer system. It's running other proprietary software that's recognizing the choices from the ballot and hopefully adding them up correctly to produce digital records.
Those records are stored on a memory card inside a PC, which later in the night gets physically returned to election headquarters.
Put into a separate computer system, usually running Microsoft Windows and some different proprietary election software,
which adds up all the different totals from the polling places to tally up an official result.
So that's basically how our election results go from you casting your vote to the data that you're going to see on the NPR website on election night.
That is one process out of many that will take place on election night, a process that a lot of people just don't know much about.
To a security person, when we discover something is more complicated than we thought, that makes us much more worried about it.
The more steps, people, machines, software involved, the more potential vulnerabilities, entry points for bad actors.
But interestingly, it seems like the public, when they learn more about elections, if they learn that it's more complicated than they thought, that makes them feel more assured about the results. That's what election officials tell me.
Marcy Andino spent 19 years as an election official in South Carolina, and she says educating voters about the process is an essential part of the job.
I think usually if you have a better understanding of how the system works, then there can be more trust.
Officials may not know all the technical ins and outs like Alex, but they definitely know the process.
The people that are conducting your elections, these are your friends, your neighbors. You see them at the grocery store, you go to school with them, to church with them.
Marcy is now the vice president of the Elections Infrastructure Information Sharing and Analysis Center, a collaborative group among federal agencies.
We work with election officials to raise their cybersecurity posture and resilience. And we do that through training, through providing security briefings, alerts, and no-cost cybersecurity solutions for election offices.
She and more than 400 federal employees coordinate with local election officials to safeguard elections for all 50 states at every step of the process.
We mainly monitor for cyber trends. So something as simple as a phishing email that is targeting election officials, or it could be foreign adversaries doing scanning of public-facing systems.
But it's what her team and election officials don't know that scares her.
The worst case scenario is that kind of the fear of the unknown.
She says that since 2020, election officials have become targets of harassment and threats. As a result, more and more seasoned, experienced officials have resigned from their posts. Some precincts have lost up to 75% of their staff.
It's just more than some people signed up for. There's been a lot of turnover, and that's concerning because that's a great loss of institutional knowledge.
Marcy says when it comes to concerns, this brain drain is at the top of her team's list.
There's only one way to get election experience, and that's to conduct an election. And a presidential election isn't the one you want to start with.
But many officials who are new at the job will be doing just that this year. And it's very likely they'll be navigating machines and complicated processes like those reviewed by Alex Halderman in Coffee County, Georgia.
What I found, unfortunately, was a large number of vulnerabilities, probably more problems than you would expect in modern, current generation election equipment.
As part of his review in 2021, Alex was able to rig the outcome of a hypothetical election using phony software, some cheap electronic equipment, and a pen. A local official called the scenario unrealistic, not worth changing an entire system for. Alex disagrees.
We would expect a critical system like this to be very well tested and secure by design, but that's unfortunately not what the industry and the regulatory process behind U.S. election equipment is producing right now.
While elections are technically considered critical infrastructure, they are chronically underfunded. Each year, more money is spent on security detail for elected officials than on making sure they're the actual people we elected. With more funding and standardization, Alex says it's possible to design elections that truly maximize public trust.
We can do that by designing elections that create evidence of the outcome that the public can view and scrutinize, starting with hand-marked paper ballots that voters fill out, and then rigorous public audits of the election result to make sure that the totals that are announced match what's on those paper ballots. That way, people can trust election results without being forced to trust either the people who are involved in running the election or the technology itself.
That story was reported by Grant Hill.